Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Word is there could be a vote on Ukraine funding next Tuesday. Politics in D.C. Meanwhile, life in a war zone for Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Hi, Joe. What's going on where you are today?
Well, Bob, good afternoon from Kyiv. I arrived here via the overnight train from Lviv. It's always a pleasant experience taking these Ukrainian sleeper trains in the wartime. And I just had a nice bowl of borscht. Well, it's a beautiful sunny day. I went for a run. I'm walking around the city of Kyiv. It's historic buildings, it's gold domes, and the parks are filled with people, you know, out for a midday walk before or after lunch. And it's such a beautiful city. And on a day like today, it feels so vibrant and calm. And, you know, in these moments, you can remember what it was like before the war. And you can see that, you know, there's even amid the war, people keep living, and really one of the loveliest cities you could imagine. And then I just had a bowl of borscht. And when you're served the bowl, it's important you have the bowl of borscht, and then you have a side plate with very important extra ingredients. And so the borscht, when you receive it, is a deep, dark red. And then you have to add some sour cream until it turns pink. Mm-hmm. And then from your other plate, you grab a piece of bread and you dip it in the borscht. And then you add salo, which is just cured pork fatback. You add that to the bread. You put some garlic, some green onions, some dill, some parsley. Very fresh, invigorating ingredients, and it really gives you great energy. And as I was enjoying that, well, by the way, you're supposed to have it with a little shot of vodka or homemade moonshine, which I did not have today. But as I was enjoying that, I was thinking about, you know, the importance of good food in Ukrainian culture and in difficult times. And when I arrived in Kyiv today, I heard the news of what happened in Gaza. The volunteers from the World Central Kitchen, I think, as far as I can tell, seven of them were killed. They were hit by the Israeli Defense Forces during that war in Gaza. And so seven of these, you know, innocent civilian volunteers died today. And this is the program of the World Central Kitchen. Is a program of Chef Jose Andres. He's a world-class chef based, I think, mainly in Washington. And he and his teams, they go to disaster zones and war zones around the world. And, you know, I've seen them throughout Ukraine these past 2 years, within, you know, less than half an hour after major missile strikes, for example, in Kharkiv. They're on the scene, even though Russians tend to target, you know, those places as soon as the rescue workers arrive. World Central Kitchen is there serving food and coffee to those who've been lost their homes or injured, and to the rescue workers. And I've met many of these people. And they're fantastic people, and you know, no one, I would say, is unafraid, but they know they're willing to face their fears in order to bring good and to bring good food to people in very difficult circumstances. So it weighs heavy on everyone here. You know, it's heavy for, you know, in war. I mean, there have been, you know, innocents killed you know, accidentally by the good party, and so this is it's a very difficult situation, something that people feel very deeply here today in Ukraine.
We've had Chef Andre on the broadcast here. He's remarkable, and he does so much good for so many people, and he has for quite some time all over the world, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, they're some of the first people to rush to a dangerous place. And what I like about World Central Kitchen, unlike so many groups, they don't leave. You know, they're still here in Kyiv, in Ukraine. And they really helped a lot of restaurants stay afloat at the beginning of the full scale invasion. And, you know, when so many others were only here when it was trending on Twitter, they're one of the resolute groups that stick around. So if people want to support them, I would highly recommend it. Meanwhile, as we talk, some big news also. Ukrainians, it seems, hit a Russian oil depot 1,200 kilometers into Russian territory. And this is extraordinary. They're continuing to have these successes with their technology, with Ukrainian drones, and to reach something, you know, to not be stopped and to make it 1,200 kilometers into Russian territory is pretty phenomenal. And as we talk about the funding situation in the White House, you know, we have to remember, I mean, there was a report in the Financial Times, which a few weeks ago, which the White House later tried to deny that you know, the White House is not happy when Ukraine makes these attacks on Russian oil infrastructure. But indeed, we've heard that story for 2 years now. The White House does not really want Ukraine, it seems, attacking places in Crimea, which is Ukrainian territory, but also especially places within Russia. And, you know, how can you ever win if you can't if you can't attack those places? And this is one of the dilemmas that is in Washington. You know, people think that those who support Ukraine do, but if they don't let Ukraine punch back, you don't see how you can win. But I think we see here from Ukraine, they don't care at this point. They know they have to do everything they can to win, and to win as quickly as possible. And so that's why we are seeing these continued attacks on Russian energy infrastructure, even as Russia continues to attack Ukrainian infrastructure. And as we speak right now, two places in the east, Kupiansk and Izum, both places I've been to deliver those drone jamming backpacks we're delivering, are currently coming under heavy Russian shelling.
When you mentioned your borscht, I couldn't help thinking about what I saw growing up for many years as a kid, my mom making my dad that borscht with sour cream in there. I don't recall him having any vodka. I never even tasted it because I don't know. It's cold, right? Is it always served cold? It was in my house.
No, it's usually served, should be hot.
Really?
In the summertime, there are different variations that are served cold. And there's a green borscht made with some kind of green vegetable that's more refreshing for the summer. But yeah, it should ideally be hot. You got to have the pork lard and the garlic. The garlic will make you sweat a little bit, I guess. But it's a very nourishing, refreshing. I think there's a stereotype about borscht, but actually. You feel healthy after you eat it.
Yeah, maybe it was because it was cold that I didn't try it. As you know, the first wave of Ukrainian immigrants got here to Chicago in the late 1800s, and soon it was the largest ethnic group in what's now known as Ukrainian Village. Lots of great places to have the Ukrainian food there. Of course, there are other spots around the city now that have opened up. I don't know if they have the tiny Ferris wheels full of vodka shots, which they have in some of those places in Ukrainian Village. But yeah, my dad drank vodka, but not with his borscht.
Well, you know, almost everyone here makes their own homemade spirit called Semohanka. And I don't think I'd ever touch moonshine in America. I wouldn't trust it. But here, every house, everyone has their own moonshine. And it's pretty tasty, but you feel great after. It's very pure and natural. So
well,
if you come to Ukraine, but don't, I would not drink moonshine outside of Ukraine.
Well, what you're going through there every day, Joseph, you can use a little shot now and then.
I carry an emergency flask for if the worst moment arrives.
Yeah, you need it. We'll talk tomorrow. I'm glad we could share a few smiles today. Peace to you.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.